WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. We'll turn our conversation now to the business of aviation and travel. Joining us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles, Brian Summers, who's Senior Aviation Business Editor for skiff.com. Brian has a couple of really good stories this week about not only first class and American Airlines, but the 737 as well. Brian, let's begin with 737 MAX report this week that some of the airlines, even though this airplane is still grounded, are still booking passengers on the 737 MAX. What's going on here?
Yeah, Steve, you know, this is my life, so I don't find it as unusual as most people do. We have all read in the news, right, that a lot of airlines have canceled all their MAX flights until either November in some cases or January in other cases, right? They've come out and they've said that. So depending on the airline, after November, after January, these airlines are still planning to fly the MAX. And so that's why if you go to Air Canada's website or you go to American's website and you're looking to book something, say, next February or next April, those airlines are planning to fly the MAX, and you're going to see the MAX as an option to fly on whatever date you want. Again, it doesn't strike me as that unusual. I know people see that word MAX and they get nervous, but it is what it is. When they say we're only canceling our MAX flights until November or January, it means after November and January that they intend to fly the airplanes, and the airplanes are scheduled. I mean, I guess that they could just kind of take them off the schedule to make people more at ease, but they're not doing that.
It should be something, though, if you are booked, let's say, on a flight that's a MAX flight, let's say in December. I know I saw a couple of American Airlines passengers who said they were booked on December flights. You should probably be prepared for a cancellation or changed flight, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, this stuff is really complicated, though, Steve. Just because you're booked on a MAX flight in December does not mean that your flight is actually going to be canceled. What's just as likely to happen is that at some point in the next couple of months, you'll log into AA.com for American Airlines and you'll see, you know, my flight is on time. It's normal, but they've substituted another aircraft. So, you know, every month when they go in there and they redo the schedule, they're moving aircraft around and that sort of thing. So it's not like they cancel every single MAX flight. You may be on a regular airplane now, a non-MAX, and find your flight is canceled because they moved your aircraft to another flight. It's so complicated and it's hard to game the system. So you might as well just book the flight you want and see what happens.
There's another really cool story out there. Qantas Airlines testing how much the human body can withstand on the world's longest flight. Tell us what Qantas is doing.
Yeah, you know, Qantas keeps saying that by 2022, which is not very far from now, they want to fly from Sydney, Australia, to London and New York. Believe it or not, this is one of the last frontiers in aviation. I mean, you can fly nonstop between almost any two major cities in the world, but not Sydney and New York. You can do Sydney and Houston. You can do Sydney and Dallas, but that's about as far as you can go right now in the United States. So Qantas said this week that they're going to test this. They're basically going to use empty airplanes or almost empty airplanes with about 40 passengers and try to simulate what this will be like. People may know that an airplane that's light, that doesn't really have passengers, that doesn't have cargo, will be able to fly much farther. So they're going to have these 40 people on board. They're kind of going to be guinea pigs, and Qantas is going to test, you know, how their bodies react, that sort of thing. Now, I will back up here, Steve, and say that this is probably a bit of a public relations ploy. You know, people right now are handling almost 19-hour flights from Newark, New York, or the Newark, New York area to Singapore. Look, they're going to be able to handle 20 or 21-hour flights from Sydney to New York. But Qantas is getting a lot of free media on this, including me talking about it on the show. So good for them. That's part of the game, right?
Yeah, it is. You're right. Absolutely. But it is intriguing because I don't know that we've had medical tests being performed while people are on a plane. So to see this like happening in real time, that's kind of an interesting part of this.
Yeah, it will. It will be interesting to find out what they learn. I will tell you that Qantas likes to share some information about their flights, and they've already put sensors on people, and they already have a flight from Perth, Australia to London, which is very far. It's about 18 hours. And I was talking with Qantas's jet lag guru last year. This is real. And they put sensors on people, and they noticed that some man on one flight who had a sensor on him never got up for 18 hours. And this is kind of a joke that they're all telling at Qantas headquarters. Like, how is that even possible? But they claim that they have the data. They checked to make sure that the sensor was working, and the guy did not get
Brian, since the last time we talked on last Friday, Cathay Pacific Airlines has had some real big changes in the wake of these Hong Kong protests. What's going on?
Yeah, Cathay Pacific is such a historic, storied airline, but it is not in great shape right now. They've gotten caught up in a bit of a mess, some fallout from these protests, these pro-democracy protests that we've seen in Hong Kong. So at the end of last week, or at the beginning of last week, its CEO and its number two executive were forced to resign. China is very interested in what's happening at Cathay Pacific Airlines, and China has basically asked the airline to make sure that employees who protest do not sort of fly through or over China or to China. And so the airline is doing damage control right now, and it's telling its employees that not only can they not protest, but they can't put certain things on social media. And, no employee wants to hear this stuff from their company. And so I think employee morale is not great at Cathay Pacific. And, this is just an airline with a great history going back to the 1940s. So it's a shame to see what's happening there. And the airline has also said on a financial level, it is not doing as well as it should, right? Because if you're in Chicago and you're planning a trip to Hong Kong, you may call Cathay and say, look, I don't like the pictures I'm seeing on the news right now. I'm going to postpone or cancel my flight. And even people who are just connecting in Hong Kong, maybe they're going on to Vietnam or they're going on to Bangkok, they're not sure that they want to connect in Hong Kong. And I don't see how this is going to resolve itself. I mean, I assume eventually it will, but right now it's just tough times for this airline.
And one of the stories that you've written is about first class on American Airlines getting classier.
Yeah, getting classier. That's one way to put it. American Airlines kind of admitted this week just to me that it made a mistake with a new first class cabin. I mean, I know that a lot of customers out there know that economy class is getting worse. What people probably don't realize is American Airlines made its new domestic first class on some planes really not very good. They put in a seat that hadn't really been thought through, so there's nowhere to put your bag underneath the seat. On a lot of planes, there's no USB power. Even though there's USB power in economy class, there's no cup holder. There's just a lot of things that are so basic that every airline has them. American didn't say why they put in a subpar first class seat, but they did. And so customers have complained, and they've really complained. And it's important when people fly first class, right? This is a lot of money to the airline. So people think, right, the airline isn't listening to me. They don't care about me. When American got all these complaints from first class customers, they did listen. And so this week they came out and said, we are going to fix these seats. We're still going to use the same seats, but we're going to find a way to get underseat storage. We're going to add USB power. We're going to add a cup holder. We're going to add an iPad holder. We're going to fix all the mistakes that we made with this seat. If you fly first class out of Chicago, you will notice this eventually. I think they're going to start making the changes next spring. So that's good.
Yeah. They wanted to wait till the summer travel season was over, didn't they?
Well, Steve, you've opened up a can of worms here. It's actually more complicated than that, if you can believe it. Anytime you touch an airplane, you need certification from the FAA, and you can't get it that quickly. So American basically says that even though these changes are minor, they don't think that they're going to be able to get certification from the FAA until the spring. So what they're actually going to do is they're going to continue retrofitting these airplanes in the fall with the bad first class seat. And then in the spring, when they get FAA approval, they're going to go in and switch the seat back. Everything just takes a very long time in aviation, and it's more complicated than it needs to be. But I suppose safety is the name of the game.
All right, Brian, thank you. Great conversation as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers of Skift.com. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter as well at Brian Summers and Skift at Skift on Twitter.